Amen. Hallelujah. You know, right now, everything is trying to be the Lord of this nation. Every evil under heaven is fighting against God. They don't want what God's kingdom has. I caught a video clip the other day, and anything that portrays to like ancient Egypt and Rome and stuff, I like to watch. I'm interested. It turns out the movie was called Gods of Egypt. But these men were portraying physical characters of the gods of Osiris and such, and they were fighting. And when we're standing back here singing about that, I just thought that is exactly what's going on in the heavenlies. We have all the gods of this world. They're trying to vie for what belongs to God. And we just need to keep praying. Well, Pastor, I'm tired of praying. Well, then I guess you're just tired of living. I mean, prayer is life. That's just all there is to it. You see something you need to pray about. You see something that bothers you, pray about it. Ask God what to do about it. There's a lot of power we have in prayer. I'm going to tell you right now, there's more power in prayer than there is in an M16. Because God can take entire armies and neutralize them. I think I'd rather go that route, personally. And y'all know my backing and my stand. I'd still rather take the prayer. So let's try to do that. Before we go any further this morning, there's a little thing I'd like to take care of. I would like to make a presentation. There's a young man here named Liam. And he got baptized at the picnic. Liam, would you come up here, buddy? We just wanted to give you this, let you know we love you. And there's your official certificate. It's like, oh man, I had to come up in front of everybody by myself. Oh well. All right, let's bless the tithe and offering this morning, shall we? Heavenly Father, we are grateful, Lord, to be called your children. We are grateful that you are the God of this city. You're the God of this county. You're the God of this state, the God of this country. You are the God of gods. So, Father, we present to you today our tithes and our offerings. Lord, I present it to you as holy. Bless it, Father, according to your word, pressed down, shaken together, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated and super kids are dismissed. So Friday, I got to do a little bit of work on my tractor. I've had to order parts, and wrong parts came in, and had to get the right parts, and now I'm waiting on one tiny little bolt that there are only two of in the state of Ohio, and they're in Washington Courthouse. But the other day, I put my tractor back together. Now, y'all need to understand, I tore pretty much the entire front end of my tractor off months ago. Opened the engine cover up, had timing gears off and stuff, retiming everything, putting it all back together. And I don't write stuff down. You can ask my wife. But I do have a manual, praise God. And I better put this thing back together before I forget where stuff goes. I get this thing all back together. Justin comes out and he's like, Dad, what do you got left to do? I said, well, I just got to put the breather back on and do a few little things here, put some hoses on. Okay. And then he turns around and he says, Dad, where does this go? And he's holding this little teeny tiny plastic line. It's about this long. I said, well, that end goes here. And I don't remember where the other end goes. And I said, oh, no. I said, Lord, please, please. I know, I think I remember where it goes, but I can't see it. And if I can't see it, that means I can't get to it. We looked and we looked. I'm looking at the exploded diagram online. Oh, I can't find exactly where it goes there. And Justin says, Dad, is it that little shiny thing down there? I looked, I said, yep, that's where it goes. It was a line that comes from my reserve tank on my hydraulics. It runs all the way down. It just a little relief is all it is. It runs down to the pump, which is on the front end of the motor underneath all the stuff I just put on. And it's on the bottom of the pump. And I was like, no. And I was like, well, I said, you know what, buddy, here, why don't you put this on? And I was trying. He's like, Dad, I got longer, skinnier fingers. He said, let me try. So I said, here, you put it on. And he's working it, and he's over, and he says, I'm about to have an anger issue. I said, no, you've just got to breathe. Just relax. I said, you'll get it. I said, close your eyes. Well, I got to be able to see. I said, no, you don't. You know where it's at now. You got to feel it. I said, focus on that. And I said, here's a wrench. If you can get that thing threaded on there, because it's fine threads, little tiny nut. And you got about this much room to work in, just so y'all know. It's not like he had this much room to just stick his hand under there. He was using his fingers to tighten that up. And he got it. He got the thing on there and got it tightened up. And so I was just like, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for sending him out. Thank you for his long fingers. Because I did not want to pull that radiator and all that stuff back out of there to get that pump up. Because the pump probably weighs 80 pounds. Well, praise God. I just told you that while people were getting settled. By the way, good morning, Jesse. He's online, if you ain't figured that out. Praise God. Well, we're going to finish up today about the Holy Spirit. And we're going to get into some scripture, and I want you to understand, when we're in the Word, I'm going to tell you what the Word says. I'm not telling you personal interpretations, except for in one part today, okay? And I'll explain that better when I get there, and that's because you'll see what I'm talking about in just a second. So if we go ahead and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, go to verse 20. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice, be babes, but in understanding, be mature. I want to stop right there real quick. In our understanding of everything, folks, this is not just about the things of the Holy Spirit. This is about everything in life. In malice, that means ill will, creating problems, being a troublemaker. He wants us to be babies in that. Okay? That if you do it out of innocence. You know, little children, they don't do things generally out of general malice. Just like bigotry and racism. You have to be taught that. Somebody had to teach you that through their example, most generally. And because of that, the child grows up with racist tendencies. Black, white, doesn't matter. But in this, he's saying, children, I would rather you be innocent of all the evils. Be innocent of trying to hurt your neighbor. Be innocent of spraying Roundup in their yard just because their dog did their business in yours. Okay? He said, be innocent of that stuff. But now in this, he said, now in things of the Spirit, be children. Do not be children, understand. Be mature. Understand what the Holy Spirit is doing. Understanding that the Holy Spirit, and we're going to get into a lot more things that, you know, growing up, it's a free-for-all. No, the Holy Spirit is not a free-for-all. You can have the fastest horse in the world. How many of y'all remember the movie The Black Stallion? I got to see that in the third grade at Raintree Cinema. Worked real hard at that flea market to get my ticket. But that horse was so fast, right? But until the horse could be bridled, until it could be controlled and reined in, all his power was useless. And see, people think that the Holy Spirit is just supposed to, oh, he's the voice of God. Yeah, but problem is, it's the Holy Spirit in us, and sometimes we act and do stupid things because sometimes we're just stupid people. We choose to be ignorant of this stuff. We choose to be immature in the things of the Holy Spirit. Instead of realizing, hey, the Holy Spirit is real. The Holy Spirit is not here to hurt us. The Holy Spirit is not here to make you weird. Why does not the Holy Spirit make you weird? Thank you. I got one person. Y'all missed a great opportunity. You don't realize when you said you already are, it came back at me. You missed it. Next. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you're out of your mind? Well, do they? Absolutely. Usually after church, they hit the door running. Next. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all. Now again, he's talking about a word that is brought forth in a tongue first and then interpreted. But if there is no interpreter and you do not feel comfortable in that gift, then you are not to bring forth a word. Next. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Now again, this is the point of these prophecies. They are not... I've had a tendency to see people that they just get stuck in a pattern, a holding pattern of the same word over and over and over and over. And they're not necessarily edifications of any sort. These words are supposed to be brought forth, and a person who is they're right at the cusp of giving their lives to the Lord, and God reads their mail. This person up here doesn't know them, but yet what he spoke affected the person over there. And they said, oh God, you heard my cry. And so they are now convinced by all. They are convinced by this. And he will worship God. That is our point, is to bring people to God. Introduce them to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we've made him this weird thing in the sky. He's not an old man. I don't know why we always picture him as an old man with a long, flowy beard. He created Adam in his image. I would say we are in his image still, but yeah, something tells me we're not exactly in the same image of God. But Adam was created exactly in God's image. And I... for personal reasons, believe that just like Jesus was crucified in his 30s, believe Adam was probably built to look like he was in his 30s. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I felt a lot stronger. I was a little more mature in my head, but I felt stronger. I felt better in my 30s than I did in my 20s. I guess they say, especially men, the brains aren't done developing until they're 25. Stop and think about that. I had sergeants who were younger than that. They were my boss. I was like, no wonder they're idiots. And then I look back at some of the things I did. Oh, yeah, that's why they were idiots, because they were leading idiots. Anyhow, next. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or three at the most, each in turn, and let one interpret. Now, this is something interesting. Now, this body, we have pretty much kept the things in order. Okay? But he's talking about time over here. Well, Miss Brenda might have a word, and she's bringing forth the word. Well, Miss Karen's got a word at the same time, and she wants to... the stage, so she starts speaking. So now we got two people bringing forth a prophecy, a word from God, and nobody's getting edified. So I stop and think about this. Common courtesy, we talk about today about, you know, common sense and common courtesy and things of that nature. They're just gone. Obviously, they were gone here too, because they were more impressed by, look at my gift. Here, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. And then everybody has a revelation. Of course you get revelations. That's the point of teaching the Word of God. I get revelations regularly. The good thing is, I get to teach them. But usually after I've had to walk a pretty rough row. So, and oh yeah, that's my job. But what was happening is somebody got the revelation over here about something that this person over here got. Like, I understood that from the beginning of my salvation experience. We're all at different points, and that's what we have to remember. None of us think exactly the same. You know, I can look at my oldest son, and I can see myself in him. I can see things he does, things he says. And I was like, oh yeah, I remember saying that stuff. But yet he thinks different than me still. He's got a different set. Who's wrong? Neither. We just see things differently. And so what I might have gotten at by his age, he probably got something already that took me to my 40s to get. So we can't sit here and judge the other people. Well, I can't believe you just now got that revelation that Jesus is King of Kings. Oh no, honey, I've had that revelation. But we in this country do not understand what kingship is about. The first time you said anything against a king, the king's troops got word of it, and the king's troops came and looked you up. And the king's troops drug you out in the streets and beat the socks off of you, if they didn't kill you. Thank God Jesus is not that type of king. But the kings of this world, they are. They're absolutely like that. All right, next. But if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent. What did I just tell you a few minutes ago? So many times people want to bring forth words, but there's no interpreter, and their faith isn't strong enough to bring forth an interpretation. And let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. Oh my goodness! What's this last part? It says, let the others judge. Let the people in the church judge whether or not the word is legit. I told you a couple weeks ago about a gal who I knew that she had exercised that gift, and like clockwork, she could, and the Holy Spirit would begin to stir in me, even as a sound man, and I knew when it was coming. It was just kind of funny. I just knew. But this one time, the last time, she brought forth a word that she created. I knew she created it because she was standing 10 feet away from the pastor when he shared the information. And she acted like she didn't know anything about it. Well, she couldn't have heard. She was looking right at him. Generally, if you're looking, even if my mic is covered, Miss Brenda can hear me. And he was not trying to keep it quiet, and he had already passed that information on, but she took it upon herself to control the situation. I get it. People don't like change. I'm so sorry for you. Everything changes. You know, I drove through, Justin and I drove through Mount Gilead yesterday on the way back from Marion, and I said, you know, I pointed over where McDonald's and all that was. I said, I remember the farmhouse that sat there, the big catalpa trees. I said, and I remember the craftsman style house that sat over where Drug Mart is, again, with the big catalpa trees out in front. I said, I remember none of this was here. I remember how excited I was that there was a McDonald's. I stopped every Saturday and got me a large chocolate shake. I said, things changed. Things get torn down. Something else gets built. That is our world. It will always be our world. Over in Europe, there's just a few places that they've been able to maintain. Being in Kiev a couple years back, it was kind of interesting to see buildings that were built in the 1400s. They're huge, but the blocks are as tall as that wall and as long as that wall. So they're not exactly, it was going to take a pretty big bomb to bring them down. But here in this country, everything's pretty new. We build out of wood. Y'all know what happens to wood? It rots after 500 years. Everything changes. And this woman did not want things to change. So she brought forth her own word, and, well, I judged it. Now, I didn't judge her. Now, just so you know, though, I did know who she was. I had come across her path before, and she died within a year. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know. She was perfectly healthy at the beginning, and then all of a sudden she went. Well, you're not saying, yes, I am. I'm saying that if you misuse God's gifts and you take credit and then you start abusing them, who do we think we serve? Who do we think we serve? We serve God, the creator of the universe. And the universe is beyond the universe that we live in. He's created it all. And apparently he's still creating because they're watching this stuff happen. I actually believe it was from wherever, in the way, way, way back whenever he started doing this. He just kept right on going. So the words are to be judged. Just like Angela was given a word one time that something about her dealing with the occult. She looks at me and says, she didn't watch horror movies. I mean, that was me. And she's like, honey, all I ever did was went trick-or-treating. No idea. We judged the word. It was wrong. It's goofy. That's what I call it. It's goofy. Next. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. In other words, if two people have the same revelation, just let the other person do it. Otherwise, sometimes people try to one-up. Do you ever see that? People want to try to open up this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and they just keep adding. And eventually, you've got to prophesy. They have now successfully prophesied. Just keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. The gift of all the things of the Holy Spirit are subject to the person. Well, I just can't control. Oh, absolutely you can. You most certainly can control it. It's not a sideshow thing for you to be going out and showing people what you can do. It is not something that, well, when somebody asks you to say the blessing, you break forth in tongues. Seriously? Do you not believe the very word that you claim is the Holy Bible? But yet they don't believe that stuff. I can control my gifts. I can control my tongue. Sometimes it gets away from me. Am I the only person who has that? Especially nowadays, with everything going on in our country. We don't even have to go outside our own borders. But our gifts are subject to us. We can't say, well, I just can't control a pastor. It's not like giving God glory. Because this is all about everything of the gifts of the Holy Spirit bring edification to the body of Christ. And they build us up. So they are absolutely subject to us. You can turn them on, you can turn them off. You can choose to prophesy, you can choose to keep silent. Next. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Somebody say, he is not the author of confusion. He is not here, didn't come down so that we could all be just confused. Lord, I'm just dazed and confused about all this stuff about the Holy Spirit. Study. We have a blessing in our lives today that they did not have during the time of this. This was one letter written to the church at Corinth. One letter. And they had to, they'd preach a section, give it to the next people. And that's how that stuff went around. We all have the benefit. We got Bibles. You could pull it up on your phone on Bible Gateway. Pull it up on your laptop, your pad, whatever. You have the written word of God. You have no excuse not to study. There's none. Well, I just can't find the time. Huh. I bet I could if I was in your life. I bet I could show you. See, that's what it is. Everybody else can always show us. I even look back and think, man, God, I just didn't have time. I'm sitting there with my excuse, you know. Got my excuse. I'm sitting here nursing it. I ain't got time, God. My excuse. See my excuse? He's like, yeah, well, that's fine. He said, but what about here? What about here? What about here? What about here? What were you doing? Oh, yeah, I was watching videos. Stupid fail videos. Oh, there's just something funny when people fall. I don't know. But God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Okay? Churches get in, by the way, churches get in, and they fight over the color of the carpet. They fight over the color of the chairs. They fight over what the preacher should be wearing. Guess what? I don't care what you think. Nowhere does it say you're to tell me what I can wear. As long as I'm not up here in a Speedo, let's enjoy life, folks. Now, if I show up in a Speedo, somebody please wake me up, because I'm evidently having a nightmare. Richard, kick me. No, me neither. Like, there's one thing I do miss from the 20s. That's being able to see my belt buckle. Next. Now, I told you I was getting ready to say some things that, in my opinion, and I think this is something Paul taught in his opinion. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive as the law also says. Let's go to the next one. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. My opinion, this is wrong. Because Paul's also the one who wrote, there's now neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, Jew nor Gentile. We're all the same in the body of Christ. So if we're all the same, what gives? My opinion, he was still stuck because he went back to the law. By the way, the law does not actually state that women were to keep silent. Because most of the men were as ignorant. And y'all want to know something? There's a reason why the Holy Spirit has been kept down, why women have been kept down. The Holy Spirit's been kept down because there's power. There's revelation. A woman, well, first off, we all know the woman has the actual creative abilities. She can reproduce in her body. Men cannot. You cannot. I don't care what your doctor says. Man, you are not having a baby. If you have a womb, you are a woe man. Womb man. Man with a womb. All right, got that out of my system for the next 5 minutes. But the attributes of the Holy Spirit are definitively more motherly. You read in the book of Genesis, you'll see the Holy Spirit hovered over the earth. You can read that. And the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the earth. The word, that phrase means as a mother hen does her chicks. She spreads her wings around her chicks and protects them and guides them. The Holy Spirit was like a mother hovering over the earth. And again, you can talk about me. You can talk about my sons. But you don't talk about my wife. You don't talk about my mother. Y'all get it, right? Jesus said, you can talk about me, you can talk about my Father, but don't you dare talk about the Holy Spirit. But yet the Holy Spirit's the very thing that we kept in a box. Oh, by the way, how long ago was it that women actually got accepted as being intelligent? I know it was up into the 60s. Because I watched the movie, the one about the women who figured out the math. Hidden Figures. Awesome movie. I mean, honestly, it'll make you sick, too. Yeah, women can't do that. Are you kidding me? Morgan understands more math stuff than I do. She's a girl. I mean, I'll call her a girl. She's a young woman. But I've known her most of her life. And it's like, holy moly. Women are smart. Why did men ever think that women couldn't think? They weren't smart. A woman can figure out what a pinch of salt is, right? They figure it out. They know, oh yeah, this is how much. A man, a pinch of salt. No. I said a pinch. This. I can't figure out how to make gravy. My wife makes wonderful gravy. The other day I fried some pork chops up. I wanted pork chops and gravy. And I made that up and I put half a cup of flour. You know what you get with half a cup of flour and some bacon grease? Pork? You get a lot of lumps. So I kept having to add milk. And I had a whole pan full of gravy. And me and the dog were the only ones who ate gravy that night. He wasn't complaining, though. Me, it was a little thick. I can't get it, but I could cook other things quite well. But gravy, the simplest thing on the planet next to Jell-O. And I still have to read the directions on how to make Jell-O. When Paul says the law, the only thing in the law about being submissive is goes back to Genesis, where man was placed in authority. But that does not mean, again, you'll hear it if you're at a wedding, I do. God made her from our side, not from our feet, to be beside us, a helpmate. To put it in a little closer to modern terms, we were a one-horse pulling team that needed two. One horse is only going to do X amount. I did like watching the horse pulls, the draft horse pulls down at the fair. Man, that team come out there, and you could see them. Their big old horses are clomping around there. And as soon as they hear that chain lock in, they're pulling. That's the way a husband and wife are supposed to be. Okay? Pulling for the same purpose. But nowhere did it say that the wife didn't have a voice. Nowhere did it say that she was stupid. Trust me, my wife was salutatorian. She was a lot higher. She graduated 3 point something. You were off of 4.0, right? Just off of 4.0. I was 1.75. By choice. I wanted to see how low you could go and still graduate. They don't do that anymore, by the way. And then he says, for it's shameful to speak for women to speak in the church. You need to understand something else. Again, he's going back to Jewish traditions. I'm not a Jew. I refuse to practice Judaism. I absolutely refuse. Jesus was a Jew, is a Jew. That's fine. He didn't come so that I could start practicing Judaism. I don't have my shawl. I don't have an Ark of the Covenant replica up here. We don't have the Ten Commandments. Who cares if they're written on the wall if they aren't written on your heart?
We're more fighting about that, putting them in the courthouse, and the judges are running around sleeping with other women. Hello, judge, you said it was okay to put this in here. How about you abide by them? Oh, and all the attorneys going through there. See, oh, thou shalt not lie. There's so many things that we're so caught up about trying to make them legal, we don't even abide by them. David said, your word have I written on my heart. I've hidden it that I might not sin against you. Gentlemen, I don't know about you, but it's generally my wife that helps keep me on the straight and narrow. And not because she threatens me with a frying pan every other day. She's the reason I came back to serving God. Well, you should have done it for yourself. I didn't love myself that much. I just didn't care. I didn't care anymore. But I wanted to do it because we were now married. We were now married, and she didn't marry what I'd become. So these last two verses, I personally believe, are simply Paul's opinion. Coming from, one, a single man. Two, a man who still had very much of the law in him. Even though he understood God's grace and mercy. And he fought with Peter over the law. You can't have both ways. There is either grace and mercy and freedom, or there's the law, which there is no freedom. There is no mercy in the law. When a cop pulls you over and gives you a warning, he does not have to do that. The law is black and white. That is why our signs are black and white when they're law. Orange and black. Construction, yellow and black. Highly suggested. Or beware, rock falling. But when you violate the law, there is no mercy. That's it. You're guilty. So I personally do not agree with the Apostle Paul on this section. I've learned so much from my wife. I've learned so much from other women. I enjoy listening to Joyce Myers. Oh, that just really... Y'all need to pay attention to the audience. It's grown a lot with a lot of men. Oh, by the way, most of my teachers in elementary school, all but one was a woman. And then junior high, I had like three men. And then in high school, I had a couple men. That was it. Most of my teachers were women. And I have no problem with it. I learned some things. Shop class, I learned a lot more. Just because I liked shop. By the way, that's another reason I wouldn't do good today. They don't have shop class. All right, next. Or did the word of God originally come from you, or was it only you, that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. If you're ignorant and you don't want to learn, you get to stay ignorant. Try to break this down, redneck. Ignorant. Not ignorant. Ignorant. All right, next. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Right there, the Apostle Paul said, do not forbid. But do you know how many churches forbid it? Do not. Oh, absolutely, do not. I asked one guy, a friend of mine in high school, he went to a church, and I'm like, well, they're Spirit-filled. And I said, so where do you guys stand on the Holy Spirit? Well, here's where we stand. Believe, but do not seek. What does that mean? I have no idea. But without the power of the Holy Spirit, we are powerless. We don't have the Holy Spirit speaking into us. We don't have the Holy Spirit showing us things about a situation right then and there. more than just, okay, the person's mannerisms were wrong. This was wrong. That was wrong. The Holy Spirit will show you something deeper down that they need to deal with. And maybe not because you're supposed to be the one saying, well, you know what, thus saith the Lord, you need to deal with this. That may not be your best route. I'm just saying. Because again, here's the thing people forget. And a lot of people want to share how God delivered them from things. That is fantastic. I encourage you. But I encourage you, if you just met the person, the last thing you want to do is pull out your testimony and browbeat them. Well, God delivered me from alcohol. Why are you still drinking? Well, we're not getting into the subject today. Y'all know I've taught you the truth. I taught you the absolute truth of the Word of God, not my opinion, not based on where I've come from, but the truth. But I know people. That's the first thing. They browbeat them. Understand this. People don't care if they don't think you care. They don't care what you think. If you don't honestly care about them as a human being, if you're just chalking up numbers, I heard a kind of disturbing thing, and you can, well, I don't believe you're even, and after you think about it, it's like, it is kind of interesting. Some people might want to crucify me later. I don't know, but I'm not saying it's absolute truth, but I think there could be some bearing in it, because I know how the Catholic Church works. They don't care about people. They care about their numbers. And they said this is the truth about Mother Teresa. She honestly did not care about the poor. She cared about the numbers. She was there to make the Catholic Church bigger. And the poor were the easy pickings. Now, I know some of you are saying, but I say that so that you understand that if that's how we're coming off, that all we're concerned about is getting numbers in our doors, we missed the point. I didn't come back to Jesus because somebody said, you're going to hell. I was afraid I was going to hell. That I was the only thing afraid of. Going to hell was the only thing I feared. I didn't fear death anymore. I feared going to hell, which is the ultimate death. But somebody browbeating me was not the way it happened. It was love. Well, of course, she's your wife, blah, 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 blah. No, we're not. We had been apart at that point. This was late September of after the year we got married. So, I mean, it was like 5 months after I'd gone back. So I was back overseas. And 5 months later, it wasn't eros. It was a deeper love that went beyond a physical contact. And that's why I did it. That's why I do or don't do certain things. As Paul said, I am free of the law. Again, and that's another reason why I kind of, what? Paul said, all things are lawful for me. So if all things are lawful for me, and there's now neither male nor female, that means all things are lawful for you. There is no law, but there are consequences. You can still murder. He said the law has been fulfilled, but there are consequences to murder. There are consequences to lying. And we're going to see all kinds of cobwebs getting tangled up here very soon. I mean, we're seeing them now. You're going to see politicians turning on each other quicker than... But do not forbid. Verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. That's how Paul ended this entire section. This was a pretty good paragraph that he wrote in his letter about the Holy Spirit, about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then he finishes it up and says, let all things be done decently and in order. Because if there's disorder, it's chaos. And God is not the author of chaos. He's not the God of confusion. And when we are operating and walking in the Spirit of God, we look at things and we say, okay, God, what do I do? You know, I hear people say, well, this is what I do. I'm going to be just like Smith Wigglesworth. I'm going to do that. You better not be like Smith Wigglesworth, because God had an anointing on that man for a purpose, for a season. And he had ignored God so long, his season was like this out of his life.
Well, I'm gonna use the power of the Holy Spirit and do it.
No, you're not. Because even he misused the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a story that his wife had died. And he hadn't been without her. By the way, she's the reason why he got saved. But she died. And again, he was I don't even know how old he was. I mean, he was late 60s, early 70s, somewhere when he got saved. But she died. He called her back, just like Jesus did Lazarus. She opened her eyes and said, what are you doing? Leave me alone. Huh? He did it for a selfish reason. He couldn't be alone. You know, I've done funerals for people who didn't know Jesus, and they break my heart. And I've done funerals for people who OD'd. I've done funerals for people who served God gloriously. And when I can stand there and do their service, and I said, they love Jesus. They knew Jesus. And I said, I don't care how old they are or are not. There is no way I would try to drag them back to here. No way. Because Paul said to be absent in this body is to be present with him. Folks, the gifts of the Spirit are not for us to be selfish. But I don't believe we should be ignorant either. There was so much that I had to learn after starting my own little business. I just wanted to paint. My very first job, I just took it to paint. And the woman's like, you know, I got all these cracks. Let me tell you, there was about 1,500 feet of tape to repair the cracks. She didn't want to re-drywall. She just wanted the cracks fixed. 1,500 feet of fiberglass reinforced tape. And I don't like drywall anymore. But I fixed those cracks. I pulled the plaster up the best I could in places where it was weak. And I filled the holes. And I did all this and I did that. Because I was just originally going to paint. Next thing I know, it turned into that. It turned into installing new ceiling fans. It turned into this. It turned into that. Next thing you know, I'm doing all kinds of things. I'm doing roofs. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And by the end, I'd pretty much done everything, which has paid off pretty good for working here. But you see, I didn't know diddly squat. I knew I could paint. I enjoyed painting. But God had other plans for other reasons. But I had so much to learn about it. And the same thing with God. Now, let all things be done decently in order. You know, I said something last week about, you know, we don't need no strippers up here dancing. I say that because we actually had a gal on, would come on Wednesday nights. She danced like a snake. It was a little freaky. And I'm a Marine. I just kind of stood over here and like, okay. What is wrong in her medulla oblongata? Well, somebody had perverted the word of God. I don't know what. I don't want anybody to come up here twerking, but dance. You start twerking, we're going to talk. And I'm going to find the strongest women I got in the church, and they're going to lay hands on you. And they're going to take you out in the hall and cast that demon out. For those of you who do not know, twerking is indeed a sexual ritual dance in Africa. Oh, you mean, yeah, you're telling everybody around you're ready, baby. That's what it's about. And I see people doing it at weddings. I get it, you're the bride. Go away, please, for the love of God and all that is holy, go away. But let all things be done decently and in order. Decency. What happened to that? I've seen some preachers' wives, I'm like, what photo shoot did you just come off of? You need to go get dressed. Go put some clothes on. Nobody needs to see your cleavage. You got a Wonder Bra on anyhow. I didn't need to say that, but I felt like it. But we have people who think they need to be trying to be seductive in the church. You know what? If I thought for 1 minute that my wife was trying to seduce people standing up here, she wouldn't be up there. I'm not trying to impress you with my red tie, my black suit, or my gray suit so that I look good and professional. I am not a motivational speaker. I will, at this point, if I have to, go clean the toilet in the clothes I'm wearing. These are blue jeans. Hallelujah. They clean up. This shirt, it's shrinking, so I need to get rid of it anyhow. But you see what I'm saying? Let everything we do be decent and in order. Think about it. You know, I've told you before, my wife, she goes in front of the mirror. We've got a full-length mirror on the back of our closet door. She's waving in the airplanes, you know. She's trying to make sure that her clothes are decent. So that when she lifts her hands, she's not giving anybody a reason to change their focus off of God and onto her. So, when we operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're to do them in the same decency. And that's why I said a couple weeks ago, it's going back to that judging part. So I said, if God gives you a word for somebody else, come to me first, especially if they are a regular faithful attender here and you are not, and even if you are, you still do this. Bring it to me. Tell me what you have to say. Because I want to know what you have to say before you say it to them, because I might know something about their situation you don't know. And they may not need to hear that right now. And if I think everything sounds okay, we go. And then I verify and make sure, okay, yeah, that's not what you just told me. Why did you change it? And then I'll ask the person, and I've done this, I'll ask the person who received the word, I said, if that sounds like it's from God to you, receive it. If it doesn't, flush it. Just because somebody says, thus saith the Lord, doesn't mean, people are people. We get things wrong. Wait a minute, you mean I was supposed to give it to her, not to her? Oh, that can make a world of difference. I was just getting ready to say, thus saith the Lord, you're going to have more children. And I'll be looking at Cheryl. Cheryl's like, oh my God, no, no, I'm a grandmother. God's like, no, the younger one, you ding dong. Morgan's like, I'm walking away. So that's why you have to be listening to the Holy Spirit. Because while I'm standing here and God may be saying, I'm looking at these two young ladies, and oh, wait a minute, it wasn't for the two sitting right in the middle. It was for another one somewhere else. But she was in the middle section. And by the way, God is not telling me, just so y'all know. Oh, you were looking at the middle section saying you're going to have more babies. My son's back here. Dad, what are you doing to us? Hey, y'all, my dad was 4 years old and my first cousin was born. And there were five more kids behind him. My grandpa had no legs. 14 kids. Yep. I got a cousin that's older than my uncle's. He's already died. So, let everything you do be decently in order. Ask the Holy Spirit, God, is this for this person? Or is this something I need to pray about? Is that what you're telling me, Lord? Pray for Richard. You don't need to go tell. By the way, no flats, right? He walked out the other day and said, now because you said that, there's going to be a flat on my truck. My boys do the same thing. I'm like, oh, it should take 15 minutes. They're like, Dad, you know this. It doesn't take 15 minutes. I said, have faith. Okay, so an hour and 15 minutes later, we're done. But let everything you do be decently in order. When you're talking to somebody, be interested in them. God will open a door for you to bring him into the subject. I got to talk with, I'll end right here. This is my first closing. No, second closing. But I came to the church yesterday and I was hauling some trash out around the back and going to throw it in a dumpster. And I'm walking down the alley and two guys are over across the alley talking and they started talking to me. And one said, so he says, you picking up trash or are you stealing? And I'm like, what? Now the other guy knew who I was. We'd never talked, but he knew that he would always see me here. And we just got to laughing and talking about some things. The guy on the lawnmower leans over towards the other guy. He says, you know it's a church, right? Well, I know the front's a church. He said, I guess I never thought about the back part of the church. It's like, okay. Because I came out the back door. And anyhow, so it created the opportunity. Because I've told you, I don't tell people who I am. They get real religious real quick. But it worked out. That's a church. I'm here. And I'm the pastor. I stood there and talked to them guys for 2.5 hours. And I was the one that walked away. And then they were like, oh, I think I better finish mowing and I better finish painting my roof. But we had a good conversation, folks. God opened an opportunity. The one guy has a son that's in prison. The other guy's son lives right behind the church with two little boys. God has opened up opportunities for me now. I know how I can pray for them. And I now have a relationship, friendship, so to speak, that is not, oh man, there's that nut job preacher. Every time he throws the Bible at us. We agreed on a lot of subjects. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. Because the one guy has given up on his son. He's like, I'm done. So, God gives you the opportunities, not always so that you can shove religion down their throat, because that's what they think you're trying to do. Listen to them. Talk to them. Pray for them. I told you. God put a guy on my heart every month or so. He was on my heart. God bring him up. I'd start praying for him. I'd have a dream. He was in it. I'd pray for him. I started praying. I kept praying for this guy. He got saved last year. So understand that. Well, I just feel like I'm praying and praying and praying and praying. Well, and keep on praying and praying and praying and praying. Don't give up. Not that you got to beat yourself and flog yourself. That's stupid. Yeah, we'll talk about prayer some other time. All right, let's stand. I promised you I'd close. Okay, I got nothing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Father, I thank you that it changes our lives. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, your Holy Spirit is with us. Your Holy Spirit dwells within us. And this is how we abide in that vine. So, Father, I pray right now that you help us all to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit when your Spirit tells us to do or not to do something, to walk or to run, to speak or keep silent. Father, I pray right now for those who desire your Holy Spirit, Lord, that as they press in, as they ask, as they desire, Father, as that word desire means to burn, Father, as they burn with that desire for your Holy Spirit, that you fill them, Lord. You give them that power, Father. You show them how to use the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord, I bless those at home and watching online. Father, I thank you for the opportunities that we will all have. Father, but I bless them today. I pray that you bless their places of employment. Father, I pray that you give them peace of mind. Father, I know shortages are happening around the country and around the world with labor and materials. Father, I pray right now that you bring peace. You give them ingenious ideas on how to work around these things. In Jesus' name, amen.